This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. Ahead on this edition, stories about leather, celebrating our third anniversary as a daily show, Leather the Traditional Gift. And Antoinette,
yes,
we're going to begin with a gentleman who has worked with leather for nearly four decades.
Yes, we're going to take a visit to Nelson's Leather Shop.
Jim Nelson, he and his wife Susan moved to Northwest Arkansas from Minneapolis, St. Paul nearly 40 years ago. They'd met in school at KU in Lawrence, Kansas. Then Jim got his MFA in drawing and art at Syracuse. Then they visited Eureka Springs in late summer in the mid-70s, and that's when Eureka Springs kind of closed down at the end of summer.
But at the same time, having looked at it, I thought, gosh, this place is wonderful, man. This has got some potential. And there just wasn't a whole lot going on. There were still actual little town businesses that existed in the downtown historic district that have been long gone, but they were there at that time. And, I mean, rents were real cheap, and it was just pretty easy to get started on doing something. So anyway, we ended up wanting to be there, but ended up in Fayetteville on Dixon Street, where Flying Possum ended up.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
And we started that shop in October. I think we opened in September or October of 74 and ran it with the idea that we were going to also have the next year have another leather shop in Eureka Springs. We were going to start. We were
That's
young.
Very ambitious.
And very ambitious. We were young and energetic, and it just seemed like, well, yeah, well, let's do that. Right before we were going to do the Eureka shop, the people that we had lined up to run this decided to join Hare Krishna. And so they went to California, and we ended up moving to Eureka Springs ourselves and starting the shop there.
You have your MFA in painting and drawing.
Right.
So on one hand, I can see how it goes to leather working, because it's, mm-hmm. to a non-artist like myself, oh, well, they're connected. But are they? I mean,
The connection is simply, to me, it's working with your hands. That's the deal. And just doing handwork. What I do in my work now, I work with wood, and I carve it. And I used to carve the leather or stamp it, and it's very similar. And when I paint or color the wooden wall art that I do now, I use my hands a lot. I use brushes, but I use rags and I use my hands. And that, to me, is direct, comes directly from working the way I used to dye belts and other hard leather things. It's the handwork, though. That's the real connection. And I could have tried pottery or glass or something.
How confident were you as a small business owner?
It wasn't really confidence as much as why not. It was let's see what happens. Let's try this. We had a little bit of money that we were given just as seed money by my in-laws to get us when we got married, and that's what we used to get going with. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed like we can do this. It's just, okay, you make the stuff and then you sell the stuff. and it was so simple. That's all it's ever really been, and hope that you made enough that you can feed your face.
Eureka Springs is a magnet that attracts a lot of people.
Yes.
A lot of people think they can come, make a living, and find out it's not easy.
Yes.
And leave. What was it about Eureka that kept you here?
Well, the artists, the diversity, the potential for, at the time, you could start there so inexpensively, there just wasn't a lot of downside. You know, it's different now. It's more expensive to be there. You can't just kind of dabble and see what happens, mm-hmm. unless you've got some capital to start with. At least that's how I feel about it. It's changed a lot. And I think it's doing very well. It's not exploding the way it was in the 80s and 90s. But it's viable, and I think it always will be. It's an authentic place. People really live there. They live and work, like, and live above where they're working. I mean, it's
not like Carmel, California, where everyone who works there can't afford to live
or
there.
Or Aspen.
Or Aspen, right.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not like that. it's the real deal. And as long as people who come to Eureka Springs and maybe fall in love with the place and decide they've got to be there someday, as long as that continues to happen, I think the town will just be fine. It'll be great. Most of the old homes and buildings that were in various states of disrepair, almost all of that has disappeared. It's for the better. People have really taken these various places, big and small, and polished them up very nicely. The town itself looks pretty good, I think, from a visual artist perspective. It's a pretty place. It's visually very stimulating. And so that's all good. There's more people coming there to do outside things, canoe and fish, bicycle. There's a lot that didn't exist at all.
And a lot more cuisine.
And a lot more cuisine. And we have, the restaurants are, we have such fine restaurants. For a town our size, it's unbelievable, really. And it seems as though we've got more than we've ever had. We also have way more artists in general, of all kinds, than we've ever had. Supposedly there's something like 400 artists in town.
I can believe that,
And in the surrounding area. Yeah. It was nothing like that when we were there. There were artists, but, I mean, there are lots and lots, and they keep coming.
If a 25 or 26-year-old came to you and said, I've got this, I have an entrepreneurial spirit, and I want to go, what advice would you give them?
That's really, really tough. It's just the stakes are higher. You've got to have some capital. Even if you're making everything yourself, you still have to have access to money. So that's important. Don't have your expectations be minimal. Just simply try to survive, at least to start with, and then build it from there. And take time to have fun. I wish there were more younger people that were coming to town and getting into business. There's lots of young people that come to town. They work for existing businesses. They're musicians. And some of them are artists. Most of the artists that seem to be coming to town that I'm aware of, they're older. They're not 25, 26-year-olds for the most part.
Well, you and I are from different generations. I don't know what it costs for you to go to KU in the late 60s, early 70s. I went to the University of Arkansas in the early 80s. But you could get out of Arkansas without much debt at all.
Right.
And if you had any, it didn't take long to pay it off. And that's different now.
That's way different. And it worries me that so many kids are having to face that right out of school. I just think that's, I don't know. I don't think it's not horrible, but it forces you to be a money manager. When I think about when we started in business, I was 28, and I knew nothing about banks or really how things like that worked. It was, again, going back to, it was just the simplest. I buy it for a dollar, I'll sell it for $2. That's what it came down to for me.
When you were making leather and you knew that it was going to go, you were, in order to survive, it was going to be sold. Mm-hmm. That was the idea. Mm-hmm. Much the same with art, but what you're doing now is somewhat different.
It's non-functional. It's non-utilitarian.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it harder to give those pieces up?
It was at first, but as I've accumulated a nice inventory of pieces, now I'm having fun, actually, letting them go and giving them to nonprofits and schools, and not for a tax write-off.
That doesn't happen anymore.
Just to get the work out and displayed and let other people appreciate it. It's not doing me any good at all sitting in some closet or little warehouse. So that's what I'm doing now. And in that sense, it's quite different than the leather stuff because, eventually somebody's going to wear every belt you've ever made. But it doesn't work that way with wall art necessarily.
Right. What should we know about working with leather? I mean,
One thing I was always kind of concerned about was that the perception that the animals are used for their hides rather than for their meat. This is a byproduct of the livestock industry rather than the reason for its existence. And I kind of struggled with that. This is the skin of a nice something or other.
Right.
And on the other hand, it's a traditional craft. It's been used for years and years and years. So I did the best I could with it and tried to respect it and make it be something beautiful and useful. And I tried to express my creativity through the designs that I was the belt man. I did belts, and I did belts that using equipment or simple hand tools that I'd never seen anybody else do. And I liked that, just that. And I tried to make them as good as I could possibly do, and they were finished real nice, and everybody liked them. So,
well, finally, here you are nearly four decades later. Mm-hmm. I guess that move from the Twin Cities to ultimately Eureka is okay?
Absolutely. I can't find anything. I just love living in Northwest Arkansas.
Jim Nelson owns Nelson Leather in Eureka Springs. I talked to him inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy news studio earlier this week.